Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom, hallelujah. Hey, I got a small audience. Can my audience say I love my sister? Hallelujah. I got a small audience over in the chat hall. Bless y'all. Greetings to you as well. Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Sister to Sister this week. I'm your host, Sister Ashley, and I'm with Mother Jennifer. Thanks for stepping in last week for me, Mother Jennifer. Great show. Great show. Great show. Let's get a sound check from you.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley. Welcome back. It's really good to have you back, and it's good to have the listening audience as well. I missed every single one of you last week. I pray everyone can hear me. It looks like we've got tens rolling in the chat room, so we can move on whenever you're ready.
Hallelujah. Tonight I give a huge shout out to listeners. Sister Sakina is able to go into the Blog Talk Radio database and find out who is listening to our show. So I'm going to give some shout outs by country, because I may not know you. We don't know you by name. And I know if you're listening to our show. I'm sure you're listening to the Brothers Show as well and following Straightway the best you know how. Mexico, Dominican Republic, Colombia, Brazil, Senegal, Nigeria, Tanzania, Kenya, Japan, Uganda, France, Germany. Shout out to all of you. It's not over. Someone from these countries is listening to the Sister to Sister Show, and I thank you. I humbly thank you. Netherlands, Australia, Ireland, United Kingdom, Denmark, Astoria, Latvia, Finland, Norway, Turkey, Pakistan, South Korea, Philippines, New Zealand. Beautiful. Can I get a shout out, a big hallelujah from my audience?
Hallelujah!
Blessed be the name of the Most High Yah. May he gather every soul that belongs to him. Hallelujah. And seal your names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for following Pastor Dow to the best of your ability. I know it's a strange sound at first, maybe even a strange sight, as many people have said before. Is this really another country? Is this really on earth that they're doing this? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Most High Yah that we know each other. Shout out to everyone who has forsaken all to live communally. I bless the Most High Yah for knowing you all, for teaching me, and for sharpening me, for molding me, so that I may make it into his goodness, into eternal life. I want to hear well done, just like many of you do, and I pray you're striving with all you know how. We got Passover coming up in 14 days. Welcome home to Pastor Dow. Shout out to his family. Bless you all. Thank you for all you do. I know it's a weight. I know it's a burden. Bless you, Deacon Bell. Thanks for praying for me. Hallelujah. Fasting for me. And loving the saints and the Most High Yah. Mother Jennifer, who's on your heart?
Hallelujah. I just want to give all glory and honor to the Most High Yah for bringing us through this dead season. We are looking at a new year. We are very close. And I just want to say that I'm honored and happy that he has truly kept me. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for the level of transparency that he shows to the community here, the close-knit family that we have here. I know that's only because of his vision for the community here, the way that he desires the closeness. And you know, he just really puts himself out there, and he's very transparent so that we can grow as a family. He never withholds good at all from any of us, and I just want to acknowledge his patience and his love toward us. And to our shepherd, Pastor Dow, a man of Yah who is continuously laboring, even while away, making sure that our minds stay fresh, our minds stay sharp, making videos for us, always continuing to have us on the cutting edge and thinking and discerning and wisdom. Your work, Pastor Dow, it does not go unnoticed. So blessings to you, blessings to your entire family for everything that you pour into your family so that they can be a benefit to the whole body. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, I have a couple of things to read with 14 days left until Passover. Next week will be our last show for a week or so, so I hope not to forget anything. Remember Household Herbs with Sister Koya and Brother Michael Israel. If you have any questions about the things that will be offered there this year, we will not have a market. So Mama Brenda, Ajali, if you have any questions about what we're going to provide or have, please call the Donna Hall, the number behind Pastor. But tonight, a new update. It says we're emailing you to communicate with the saints that although there will not be a Straightway Marketplace this year, my master, Brother David from Straightway Praiseland, will be selling Culture Collection merchandise while we are visiting at Straightway during the week of Passover. If you'd like to purchase and support, please find myself, Sister Evelyn, or my master. Blessings and thank you, Pastor Dow, and all Straightway for the labor you're doing to prepare for Yah's Passover feast. Hallelujah. Thank you for all you do every time you host saints as well. Bless you, Promised Land, Praise Land. Carol is taking pre-orders for the feast. since there will not be an official store day. You can send your pre-orders by email. Pre-orders by email to www.care-lelle.com. There will be some products available if you do not get your pre-orders in, but it may be limited, so thank you so much. Just my my recommendation is that you would not bother or disturb Mother Carol during the feast if you did not pre-order. She's extremely busy. That's not from her. That's from me. And Sister Tamika says Zion's Virtue specializes in handmade skincare products, deodorants, perfumes, soaps, and more. We will accept your pre-sale orders until Sunday, April the 3rd, and a free gift will be given with every purchase at the time of pickup. Please visit www.zionsvirtue.com for all orders. We will also be sure to have a few popular products on hand to purchase during the feast. If you have any questions or concerns, please email us, hallelujah, myzborder@gmail.com. Look forward to serving you once again this year. Stay regal, royal, and priesthood. Sister Tamika, Zion's Virtue. All right. I think that's it. Any announcements, Mother Jennifer?
I wanted to ask you, Sister Ashley, how are we doing on the Be a Blessing list item?
Definitely a good response after Elder Rufus had to reprove or remind Israel. I do look forward to getting a good response from the saints in that area without Elder Rufus having to remind us every year, and he really does. We got a great response. We got things coming in, and that's for sure. We have phone calls and orders. Some things are being picked up at Walmart. Some things are being picked up at the address. Thank you so much to everyone who's able to contribute, who's called, et cetera. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. Anything else?
Hallelujah. So that's good. We got a good response, so everyone needs to continue. It doesn't mean that we've met our goal, so please continue to support by getting the Be a Blessing list items and contact the dining hall if you are purchasing anything. If you're mailing it, if you're bringing it, please contact the dining hall. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Let's humor everyone, Mother Jennifer. Do you have any idea what we're talking about tonight?
I don't. No idea. I know a little bit, but I figured it might possibly change.
Right. You know us. Bless you. So you have no idea what I will ask you, correct?
No, ma'am. I have no idea.
Hallelujah. So what I have is some questions that were sent to me by sisters who were interested in building sister relationships. Very good questions, by the way. Things that I don't think we've ever even dealt with on the show. And I have a ton of clips, so we're kicking it off. You ready?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
All right. Here's our first one. I'm going to ask you to either write down something, Mother Jennifer, after every clip tonight, write a little side note, and I'm going to ask you what you wrote down. I'm going to ask you what stood out to you, okay? This one's really short. We're going
yes,
to the Lion's Den. Lion's Den from 3/18/2022 from Brother Daniel Muir's channel. All right, I want to make sure my volumes are set. Here we go.
Psalm 40, verse 7. Come on. Bro, this is, bro. Psalm 40, verse 7. Come on. Then said I, look, I come in the volume of the book.
Come on.
It is written of me.
Come on.
Come on.
I delight
come on.
To do thy will,
oh my God.
Come on.
Yea, thy law is within my heart.
Uh-oh.
Come on.
He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, and it's written of who?
Me.
Come on.
I delight to do thy will, oh my God.
I delight to do thy will. What's his will?
Yea, thy law is within my heart.
Where the law is?
Within my heart.
Oh, when we reading the Psalm?
Yeah. All right. Small clip. The word written in your heart. Mother Jennifer, what did you write down?
I wrote, delight to do thy will. You know, so many women struggle with the will. And when you look at, you know, the Psalm that was quoted, there should be a delight in actually doing his will. It should not be grievous when it comes to doing the will of Yah. There really shouldn't even be a struggle or a battle to overcome your own will. There should be a delight, actually, to do the will of Yah. Sister Ashley.
So the question is, how do you have your own mind while finding the balance of having the mind of pastor, the mind of your leader, the mind of the lead sister over you, the mind of Christ, right? All these different minds, when we come together, how do I, we, Mother Jennifer, have our own mind when finding the balance of learning others' minds?
Well, you have to remember that there's one spirit. So there's different people, different dynamics, different personalities, but there's still one spirit. So even though, you know, the way that you come to the conclusion may be a little different, the conclusion still is going to be the same. You know, there's one spirit. There's an agreement there. If you're walking together, if you're fellowshipping together, there has to be an agreement. So it's not that I've got, you know, my own way, my own mind, my own thoughts. No, it's that I'm looking to align my thoughts and my mind and my way to the thoughts, way, and mind of the Most High Yah and nothing else. Once that comes in line and everybody gets in line with that way of thinking, then everything will line up. But if everybody is fighting to keep their own mind, fighting to keep their own way, that's when confusion actually comes in. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Very good. So we actually yield our members as servants to obey. So we yield our bodies to the will of someone else. If someone wants you to make something, bake something, go get something, be a steward over something, that's yielding your members to someone else's mind, okay? So tonight, a couple of things that we're going to talk about is what spirits behind wanting and needing approval from another sister, or what spirit is behind feeling condemned when you let down someone else, right? So there's going to be a lot of information in tonight's show. I don't want to talk too fast. Let me back up and say, when you are new to submitting your members and your hands, your body, to surrendering to someone else's will, that should not involve any form of mind manipulation and control. That happens because of the weakness of your mind, because of your inner thoughts, because of demonic power over you. If you're surrendering yourself to someone else's will, it should not wear on your mind, okay? It's a lot of condemnation, a lot of self-hate, and a lot of self-rejection that we have to overcome. So we're going to build on the show, okay? Maybe you'll have questions. You can even write them down, and by the end of the show, I hope that they will be answered. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next clip. Remember in Romans 14, it says, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself in the thing that he allows, right? So there are things. When you come into the faith, you're going to fail. And you tell yourself that, but you immediately respond as if you were supposed to be perfect. Why did I fail? Why did I fall? Why did I upset her? Why did I upset him? Right? All the condemning thoughts. We're going to build. Okay? Let's go to a Sabbath service called Mind Manipulation from 2015. And this just kind of speaks on how far our minds are from Yah, how much peace we don't have. But it also speaks on the sorrow that you gain when you gain wisdom. It speaks of the sorrow straight from Pastor's heart that he has gotten from learning Yah's mind. Okay, a lot of people are not acquainted with this type of sorrow. When you start growing in wisdom, no matter if it's wisdom for yourself, wisdom for the body, and you start growing in sorrow too, you can reflect on that sorrow in the wrong light. Okay? Here we go, mind manipulation.
Let's go over to Ecclesiasticus 1:17. I'm going to give you a series of scriptures here just for a second this morning, okay? All right? Ecclesiasticus 1:17-18. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom, look at this, for in what? For in much wisdom. For in much wisdom is much grief.
All right, pause for a second. Is anyone out there gaining wisdom about themselves? Are you gaining sorrow as well?
Yes.
Right. All right. Support. We don't put that sorrow off on anyone else. No one else did that to us. Okay? That's Yah's dynamic. Here we go.
And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I can't tell you how many times when I venture to study a particular subject in his word, and then I immerse myself in it, and I start to understand what Yahweh's perspective is coming from the law and the prophets, and I start looking at the condition of his world, I see how far we are away from him and how far removed we are from him. And I don't mind telling you that the more I study on subjects, the more I can see our condition, and I can see how deceived we are, and I can see as a people why come we're without a lot of peace in our lives. It's a sad, sad situation because, again, most of us, we would rather live by our feelings and emotions than the word. And when I read this word, I understand this word, I start shaking my head. I go, my, the people are so lost because they refuse to exalt Yahweh's word above their opinion, which if we live by his word, we can obtain in peace. You know, the scriptures version reads it like this. And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I know that this too is feeding on wind. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases suffering. And most people, they hear me speak and teach, they go, man, Pastor Dowd sure does know a lot. You just don't understand and know how many nights I spent crying reading his word. How many mornings that I have cried knowing his word. First of all, seeing my own sickness and my own spiritual condition and lack because of the flesh, the old man. I first experienced all this pain with self first. And sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to get clear with myself because I dare not want to go out and spew and spit out my venom and my poison to taint my brothers and my sisters because of what I see within me. Once I can see clearly what's in me and I can get myself straight and right, then I'm qualified to reach out beyond myself and to be able to go out and preach and teach this word to someone else. But I experience a lot of grief and a lot of sorrow. When I read his word, I'm sorry, I don't read it. It doesn't impact me for you. When I read his word, I take it personally that Yahweh himself is dealing with me. And in dealing with me, I can be honest with myself and be truthful with myself. And I still have a very, very long way to go. But I tell you what, I sure do experience a whole lot of grief and a whole lot of sorrow in this life when I read his word. Because the knowledge of the Most High, when I'm able to see myself, then I'm able to go out and preach and teach, and I see the condition. That's why the majority of my preaching and teaching has to do with a cry. I'm crying out to Israel to turn from their wicked ways. I'm crying out for them to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. I'm crying out for them to embrace the engrafted word of Yah, which is able to save your soul, but I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, what'd you write down?
I wrote down that one of the things I wrote is that, you know, we are not qualified to see or discern anyone else unless you have first discerned and seen yourself. And I think that is a major step, a major important step that we miss. And immediately we want to go looking at everyone else, but you've missed the first step. So there's no, your discernment carries no weight because you haven't followed the biblical principles. And, you know, we never knew what sorrow was until we came this way and started our journey in this walk. You know, the level of manipulation and the truth being hidden and, you know, about our identity and who we are and the revelation of our own flesh and how the flesh keeps you contrary or against Yah. You know, we never knew that level of sorrow until we've come this way. And so we thought we understood it, but there's something about actually living it just truly brings a totally different dynamic. Sister Ashley.
Yes. What it came to my mind was 2 Timothy 3, where it said that in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And you know the whole list, right? One of the things in the list is lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yah. And to be a lover of pleasure would really hit us all, because we are at one time very fond of pleasure. What does that mean? You reject anything that doesn't please you. To be fond of pleasure means that you are very, you are at one, you are with one, you are one, one, one with pleasure. So you know what pleases you, and you know what brings that emotion. You know, whether it's getting your own will or whether it's a pizza, you know exactly what pleases you. And to be a lover of pleasure, you're actually rejecting anything that doesn't do that, anything that doesn't form that emotion inside you. To be full of sensual delight, you know, to really have a corrupt mind that's very, very contrary from the Father. If he says, hey, I'm going to put you through the wilderness and I'm going to send my rod. That's what his prophet said. He's going to send his rod to you. There's no pleasure in that other than pleasing the Father. So in the flesh, there's no feeling of pleasure, right? It's just wanting to hear, well done. I just want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And so he mentioned, you know, the sorrow that comes when he's reading or diving into certain subjects and seeing himself. And that really is denying your own pleasure, denying the thing that you want to do. And so one of the questions from the sister, let's bring it in, says, what spirit's behind always wanting and needing approval from another sister? Self-rejection, period. Always wanting or needing approval, always wanting or needing accolades and high fives from somebody else. It doesn't matter if it's male, female, husband, or whatever. If you know this about yourself, you're very fond with pleasure. You're very fond with pleasing this person, and it's very rejecting not to. Okay? This is bondage, Mother Jennifer.
And, you know, in that particular state, in that particular mindset, you can form, really don't exist at all. You know, you can form thoughts that say, I'm rejected. Well, you may not be rejected. You just may be seeking the pleasure of another. And if they don't respond or react the exact way that you require them to, then, you know, your mind says, oh, that's rejection, but it's really not. So you end up pointing the finger and not looking at the situation for what it really is. You know, you're being dishonest with yourself. You're being dishonest with Yah. And in your confessions, in your prayer time, you can't even get set free because the confessions that you're making are the wrong ones. Sister Ashley?
Well said. Next clip.
So anyway, the enemy tried to hit the Messiah while he was hungry, and he had fasted. But look at this, verse 3, in Matthew, the fourth chapter. And when the tempter, notice, they call the enemy the tempter. Everybody's temptation is different. Everybody's going to be hit in different areas, and they're all called temptations. Did you know when the devil wants to cause you to judge someone unjustly, that's a temptation? If he calls you to lust, that's a temptation. The majority of these thoughts are temptations. Think about it for a second. And when the tempter came to him, let's see how the tempter tempted him. He said, first of all, if you be the Son of Yah. Now notice, he put a suggestion in his mind to make him, to cast doubt in his mind. If you be the Son of Yah. If you be the Son of Yah, huh? Command that these stones be made bread. Now, what was the enemy doing? First of all, Yahshua already knows he's the Son of Yah. But see, 40 days of fasting, that flesh is hungry. As soon as he made a suggestion of food, that flesh started cutting up. Huh? That tempter gave speech to entice the Messiah to stop his discipline. He's using that. Hmm? And notice, temptation is also this word. Listen to this. Scrutiny. It's your Greek number 3985, tempter. Scrutiny. You may want to check that word out. Scrutiny.
Let's pause there for a second, Mother Jennifer. What did you write down?
I wrote down pause first, discern the voice of the tempter. You know, a lot of times we don't just pause and discern whose voice this is. You know, is this the voice of the Holy Spirit or is this the voice of the tempter? So pause first. If you discern that it's not Yah's voice, then you go forward from there with your actions. But, you know, the Messiah, even being in his, you know, in such a physical, weakened state, he was still ready because he had the word in him. You know, he had the word that was just ready, that was within him. And we just lack having the word inside of us. But so many times, instead of pausing and discerning, we're just so ready to just give in to the tempter, you know, to just feed into whatever he's saying. Sister Ashley?
One question from a sister said, what spirit is behind feeling condemnation after another sister rebukes you or corrects you? Self-rejection. What spirit is behind feeling condemnation after another sister rebukes you or corrects you? Remember, you are not accustomed to any form of correction. You're not accustomed to correction, whether it's right or wrong. You have to mature your ability to receive the intention of correction, despite all the words that the enemy's going to make you reflect on. He's going to entice you, suggest to you, hit you in your flesh, tempt you, and stop your discipline and stop your mind, because you're going to be hinging on that word and that word and that word that she said and that word and that word and that word that he said or that pastor said. It's going to take the focus off of you and stop your discipline. That is the tempter's goal. So self-rejection is the spirit behind making you feel condemned when you are corrected. And that's no one else to blame but you and the devil. That's not her fault. So she came at you, she looked at you, she said this, and this was wrong. No, the way you feel, the way you receive, that's you. And when you really engage in the war, you really have to fight on your knees. You can't fight walking with your chest out and never bowing your neck. You take every war to Yah. You take every thought to Yah. Every temptation to Yah. All communication and conversation in your mind. You take your thoughts to Yah. You repent for your thoughts. And you form that habit behind the scenes. You'll begin to learn how unwavering his love is for you. And his love is not based on any woman or man's correction of you. Mother Jennifer?
When you truly learn how to take those battles to Yah, you truly learn how to be humbled. There's no way that you can walk with your chest stuck out or walk in a spirit of offense and say that you've truly taken it to Yah. When you've taken something to Yah, he softens your heart. He humbles you. He gets you to see yourself, even when you think it's not you, even when you think the problem is not you. He truly gets you to see yourself. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. This is a good purging, self-reflecting conversation for Passover coming up.
In other words, you scrutinize, you being tempted. You are literally being tempted. We have to live in the day. Temptation also, look at this, the word tempter also means, look at this, to test objectively. That is, endeavor, scrutinize, look at this, entice and discipline. Essay, to examine and go about, prove or tempt. Do you know a lot of times when you're questioning people that you are tempting them because you're tempting yourself? You know when you're scrutinizing people that you are tempting or being used of the tempter? Wow. Yeah, think about that. Look what he says. And the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the son of Yah, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, This is how you deal with temptation that enters into your mind that's trying to get you to go off course. This is how you deal with it. Look what he said. It is written. Most of us, we don't never say it's written. Most of us are in our head. We believe it and we act on it. We call ourselves resisting and fighting, but we have no word to resist the devil. Look what Christ used. He used the word. He didn't use his own emotion. He didn't use his flesh, which was feeling and had emotions and lusting after that bread. He used the word. The word is powerful. The word is what made everything that exists today. Yahshua said, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, his existence, his being, does not come from bread, but by every word that proceed forth out of the mouth of Yah. That's where he gets his existence, his substance, his strength from. Now, ask yourself this question. How do you live today? I would tell you how many of you live today. You live from past experiences. You live from negative emotions that are tied to past experiences. And we all feel it. We feel it right here. Sometimes the devil can hit us with a thought, and we feel the pain of it in our heart, and it hurts. It makes us sink deep down in our seats. It does. It makes us sigh. But you know what it does to a saint of the Most High? It causes them to pray. It causes them to hit their knees. Because even though you have no ambitions whatsoever at all to walk in falsehoods and stuff, you are fallible and you are flawed. And this is what Paul had to resist. This is what Jesus had to resist. Continually, over and over and over and over. They had to resist the enemy who presented the truth to him, but he was holding it in unrighteousness. Think about that. Yah is our source and our strength. And Moses, during his fast, Jesus, during his fast, they were being sustained by the Father. Yeah, they were. Not by bread. That's not there. They were being sustained. Most decisions we make them from emotions that drive us, and then we use our own book of the law, meaning our own personal feelings about a matter, to drive us, which is called logic and reason. This is called living after my own mind and not by the word of Yahweh.
Mother Jennifer, what did you write?
I wrote, we live by negative emotions from past experiences. And, you know, so many have not dealt with past experience. So many have just gone through the motions and suppressed so many things because it was so painful in the past. And so when you come across new people, you meet new people in your life, you welcome new people in your life, and you still experience those past emotions, those negative emotions, instead of actually dealing with it, you're making someone else pay the price for something that happened years and years and years ago. So when that happens, you have to really look at yourself and say, okay, there are some steps that I have missed. There are conditions that I have not met because I still feel the pain of this here. Instead of, you know, just really making someone else pay the price for the negative emotions from the past. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. The question was, please speak to having an ungodly fear of authority. And please speak to having an ungodly fear of getting in trouble. Okay? Being judged, etc. Of course, this can stem from your father and your mother, your childhood, your past, like Pastor said, like Mother Jennifer said, based on how you were judged or how you formed a strong opinion against your judges. Right? However, your mind mentally as a child rejected the correction, you do form that pattern. So in the faith, you need to understand your fears. Because there is a righteous fear that you've never felt until here. And it's something to reflect on. Now, if your so-called righteous fear becomes a torment, then you need deliverance. And if your fear of authority and your fear of getting in trouble and your fear of getting kicked off the community and your fear of getting called out and getting open shamed and getting named and getting injustice, all that is coming in your heart by your tempter. And you need deliverance. Right? We've seen authorities fall in this ministry. We've seen elders fall away in this ministry. We've heard stories of the things that others had to deal with while they were around. Can you stand? Do you have the law of the Most High Yah in your heart? Our very first clip. Do you have his law? This is a place of overcoming, not to feel a trigger and then flee. Flee the very place and the very people that can help you, regardless of the person that's challenging you the most, the lead sister, the community head, the pastor, because the fears present themselves because of your heart, your past relationships. So remember that, to reflect on your fears. Some say, well, you know, I'm afraid around pastor. I'm afraid around Elder Rufus. I'm afraid around Elder Mitch. I'm not. I'm in full reverence. I'm paying close attention to what's being said to me. I'm retaining. I'm listening. I'm bowing my neck. I'm in full reverence of Yah in them. Right? Mother Jennifer?
And many have not known the level of sobriety that really needs to take place until coming to the faith. You know, when you see someone else fall, or you see someone else being corrected, you see someone else being reproved, it should allow you to really look at yourself as if you're the one getting reproved. You know, there should be an awareness in you. It should raise an awareness in you. It should raise a level of grace and compassion in you instead of just pointing the finger and, you know, looking at someone in judgment. You should have, you know, an empathy in your heart. You should be able to empathize with that person. So, but it also should make you sober so that you don't fall into that exact same thing. Sister Ashley.
1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "For who makes you to differ from anyone else? What have you that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, then why do you glory in it? As if you didn't receive it." Right? Why puff yourself up? Common English says, who says that you are better than anyone else? What do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, then why are you bragging as if you didn't receive it? But then on the flip side, in dealing with fear of, let's say, your lead sister, fear of another sister, ungodly fear, that is, you're putting her above you mentally. Well, y'all didn't do that. I'm married to a deacon. Am I above you? No. Do I deserve honor? The word says honor all men, right? So a sister is maybe carrying herself arrogantly. In your mind, you don't like that. But in your mind, you're charged to get peace. I'm not bothered by women who carry themselves that way. I know them by name. I'm not bothered at all. Right? Because I'm not above them. So if she's carrying herself a certain way and I don't agree with it, I don't put myself above it, right, and make myself that equal in that iniquity either. All right, let's go to another clip. You ready, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, I'm ready.
Hallelujah. You going to allow yourself to be moldable? Are you going to keep yourself hard?
Are you going to allow yourself to be moldable? Is that not what we came to do? And then some people flee at the first sign of being molded. Sure. They flee. And then they testify on YouTube.
As stone, because you don't want to get rid of the person that you think you are. I know I speak a lot about people saying stuff like, this is how I always done it. You know, this is me. This is just me. This is just me. This is what I do. Da, 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 da. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear you. So, honestly, you're solid right there. You're stiff in that state, and you're stagnant where you are. When people can't see growth in you, especially when you've been in fellowship for a long period of time, and they just see the same old soul.
Is that not scary? Can we all say it? Nobody see you grow? And we're not doing any self-reflection at all to even see that we've grown or not? Mother Jennifer?
That is very scary, Sister Ashley. And, you know, that is really one of the main questions that you have to ask yourself. Is there fruit in me? You know, really reflect on when you first came to the faith. Have you shown any fruit? Have you shown growth? If you are married, ask your husband, have you shown any fruit, you know, any improvement? Have you grown? Ask the lead sister that is closest to you. Ask somebody that will definitely hold you accountable if there has been growth. Have I shown any fruit since I've come to the faith? Have I shown fruit since last year? You know, have I shown fruit since last month? And I know, you know, some things take time, but you still want to be able to be progressive in your walk. Sister Ashley?
And most importantly, know yourself enough to know your weak areas. Are you ready to hear what's being said to you? If you go to the doctor and you get a heart checkup, are you really ready to hear what he says about your heart? Are you strong enough for when he tells you you got a heart murmur? You strong enough to fight that? You got enough faith? If not, you better hesitate and be on your knees before you go. Right? And that's what the relationships are like amongst us sisters, too. You want to approach somebody and ask them how you doing? Get yourself ready. Don't be offended. Might be fruit, but what kind? Might be fruit, but what kind? That's it. Because if you are striving to produce fruit in a certain area, it's not on your own terms. The fruit is always humility. Yeah. It's always humility. So you got beef and offense and a strife with another sister in your heart, and no matter what she thinks or how she feels, you check your heart. You produce fruit in your heart. It's not, okay, so if this sister is continually rebuking you and correcting you, and then you've isolated yourself and you say, her rebukes don't matter and her chastisement don't matter because I don't agree and it ain't right, okay, then where's your fruit? Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. And it's really about, you know, I can't stress this enough, looking at yourself, not looking at everybody else. And I remember Mother Carol talking about this years back when we had her on the show, and, you know, Pastor was really hammering the fact that sisters don't know, they don't love each other. They refuse to love each other. And I remember Mother Carol saying, if everyone just worked on themselves, then everything will work itself out. If everyone stops looking at, you know, well, what do we need to do collectively? Everybody was thinking about collectively what we needed to do. And it was just so wise what Mother Carol said. If everyone individually works on themselves, then everything else will work itself out. Sister Ashley?
But you know what we do, right? We do like Absalom in 2 Samuel 15, where he says, oh, man, that I were judge. Man, if I was judge, every man would have his cause, and they would come unto me, and I would do justice. I would do right. I'd do it differently. A lot of us need to understand that you're submitting, you're yielding your members to someone else's way so that you'll make it into the kingdom. It's, hey, wipe out the blender this way. And you, man, if it was my kitchen, we'd do it different. You know how many people wish I was more of a gung-ho, cutthroat kitchen manager? You know, why ain't you saying nothing? Why ain't you dealing with that? As I watched Mother Carol and her meekness, and I realized that the Holy Spirit don't deal with women like women deal with women. The Holy Spirit is a gentle guide,
yeah,
a loving guide who does justice at all times.
Yeah.
So one thing that we have to understand is, okay, you're being taken advantage of maybe. Maybe you're feeling like you deserve praise. Who is your God? Yah. Is he giving it to you? Is he giving you praise? get your eyes off a man, right? Get your eyes off of all women, lead sisters and everything. All her mistakes, all your judgmentalism, all your I wish I was in charge is haughty to the Most High Yah. And he put you in charge, and it would still be the same. Won't be no different. Women wouldn't change just because you talking. They ain't changing just because me and Mother Jennifer talking.
Right.
Right? The Holy Spirit is molding.
Same old attitude. They see the same old characteristics. They see the same old one. Oh, and next thing you know, instead of you saying, oh, that's just me, they going to start saying, oh, that's just them.
I heard a sister say, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm going to tell y'all right now, being with the Father all these years, I have never once in my entire life said that. And I never will. Write it down. March 31st, 2022. I ain't there yet. Man, if you don't get there with gasoline underwear, as they say, if you don't get there, where's your fear? Well, how long are you going to stay there? How long should we all just, okay, that's how she is. Right?
That's it. You know, that's just how they are.
That's just how, see? That's just
yeah,
when
it starts getting like that, can't nobody tell you anything.
Nobody.
You just solid.
Solid.
So what kind of earthen vessel are you? We are earthen vessels. Mm-hmm. Are you this solid earthen vessel? Strong? Can be poured into? Yahweh can pour into this vessel, into your vessel? Can he pour his spirit in you so you can do greater works?
Mm-hmm.
Can he pour into you so that you can be a benefit to someone else? Can he pour into you to where you can edify someone? Can he pour into you and you be excited about this life?
Hallelujah.
But more excited about the life to come? Or are you still just stuck in the livelihood that we have that's provided by the great so-called American United States? Can he pour into you? And can you be full of him? Can you be full of him to where the only way you're going to spill is if he run you over and spill you over?
Hallelujah.
Hmm? Or are you going to be one of these? This broken vessel. Hmm?
Yeah.
Vessel with holes. As soon as he starts pouring into you, you start emptying out.
Yeah.
Instruction goes in one ear and out the other. It went into the top hole and out of the side hole. Hmm? It would be even worse if that kind of holds the bottom of it, huh? Is this the vessel you are? You got to ask yourself that. And if you are this vessel, are you going to remain that way? Cannot he do what he did at the potter's house?
Yes, sir.
Cannot he remold the house of Israel into what he desires for them to be?
Yes.
To fashion it as right as they are? He fashions us all in the womb. He knows us before we even born. You know what I mean? But again, which vessel are you? The one that he can literally pour into? Oh, remolded. Or just one that's just heavily broken? Nothing but holes in it. Ask yourself that. 2 Ezra 7:25-27. Therefore, Ezra, it is empty things are for the empty. Full things are for the full. Capture you a vessel and go out there and get that water from the tank. Carry it to the chicken coop or carry it over there to the block site. And as soon as you get there, ain't no water in it because it fell out the bottom. How you going to feel? What you going to do with that bucket, though? Discard it. Because it wasn't full when you needed it. Why even use that vessel? So that goes to show that if you're not going to use that type of vessel, Yahweh's not going to use that type of vessel. Yahweh's not going to use a vessel that he cannot use. He's not going to use a vessel that he cannot fill. How would that look for Yahweh to use a vessel that's flat out empty? Empty in mind, empty in spirit, lethargic, just full of emptiness, wasting time. Like Elder Mitchell's teaching on time. Wasting time. For behold, the time will come when the signs which I have foretold to you will come to pass, that the city which now is not seen shall appear, and the land which now is hidden shall be disclosed, and everyone who has been delivered from the evils that I have foretold shall see my wonders. I want to be filled with him. Filled with him so I can see those great wonders. I don't want to be an empty vessel to where I can't even conjure up even a scripture to edify my brother or sister. I would hate to sit there and not be able to see his wonders because all my mind was thinking of was evils continually. You know what I mean? Who can know that heart? More on this vessel. Romans 9. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, what'd you write?
I wrote, Yah won't use a vessel that he cannot fill. And I think about how, you know, there are things that can destroy a vessel, you know, things that can erode a vessel. Think about, you know, spirits of rejection, bitterness, unforgiveness, slander. You know, think about these spirits and how they can literally wear your vessel out to the point where you can't even hold anything in. He can't even use you at all. And you have to be moldable instead of being so resistant to what he's doing. And I wanted to say as well, you know, you really have to be careful of the attitude of, you know, I can do it better when you're looking at the position of another sister. If a sister is in a specific position, it's because she has what is needed for that particular position. And she is being molded as well. And so you are required to support her in any way that she needs. Instead of having the mindset of, I can do it better. I want to do it. I want to be in this position. And, you know, when you have that particular mindset, you can, if Yah gave you what your request was, what your desire was, you would not be ready at all. You would not be ready to even receive it. And so it does no good having a critical eye against those that are in a particular position. You know, if they have been put in a place of authority, whether they say clean the kitchen like this, clean the pans like this, you know, you have to submit to that instead of having a critical eye, because those types of thoughts will come back on you. Sister Ashley.
Our question was, can you speak on how to do all things unto the Father and not for just a lead sister? And I must say, you have to stop fearing failure. I say stop fearing failure. Only 1% of you will ever do that. I'm throwing a percentage on it. Stop fearing failure. Some of you will die fearing it. It's a pride or a proud response to be embarrassed and fear failure. It really is. So if failing is expected, it wouldn't hurt so bad. If failing is expected, it would not hurt so bad. My failures don't feel like yours, I'm going to tell you. Right? If molding is doing what is needed and not wanted, then let him mold you. But that's where we grow stagnant, because we absolutely refuse the molding process. You know, we refuse it because we're not going to truly come naked and vulnerable for the Father and say, this is my area, I need this. I need to fail. You know, I need to fail because I'm embarrassed of it. I need to be embarrassed because I'm embarrassed. You know, I need to be humbled. Oh, good, take a back seat. Not, oh, I want to cook. You know, I'm going to be out front. No, take a back seat. Do something nobody sees and do it over and over and over and please Yah and not man.
Yeah.
You know, always needing someone else's answer, always needing someone else's agreement, you know, needing their feedback for your rejection. These are the things, these are the inner thoughts, the self-reflections that for me, living on community, it did for me. It purged this from me. Been there, done that. I could wear the shirt. You know, that's why you pay reverence to the people at community. That's why the sacrifice is so great. It's literally been through hundreds of ball games, and we just don't feel the same. We don't respond the same. So humble yourself to those that are saying, you need to fail if you fear failing. You know, speak to the fear of authority. You need to fail. You need some rebukes. You need to see yourself as they see you. And then when we say that, we go, oh, man, well, they're just mind-controlling their people. No, I'm an overcomer. How am I going to overcome if no one ever, you know, tells me about me? Or if somebody judged me wrong, how would I ever humble myself? Like Paul said, when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. Right? How are we going to practice this? Hardy, Mother Jennifer, hardy. Your thoughts?
And, you know, we can't be afraid to pray the prayers that are actually designed to set us free. Like Elder Rufus shares, you know, that his prayer is if he is faulty in an area, he does not want to continue to go on deceived. So he tells the Father, Father, if I'm wrong in an area, then put my sin on blast, put it on a billboard so that I can be set free. But how many are bold enough to pray prayers like that so that they can truly be set free? But instead, we're focusing on embarrassment. Oh, it's going to be so embarrassing. But we're not thinking about the fact that we could be set free. You know, you've got fear that you're dealing with. Then ask the Father to really expose it. Father, whatever it takes for me to be set free, then do it. Let it happen so that I can be set free from this fear. Sister Ashley?
My husband teaches that humility truly purges the heart, and humility truly purges the mind, and that makes your spirit moldable. I don't know nobody more humble than Deacon Bell. You might know him, but that's my husband. I'm going to say it, you know? I don't know nobody more moldable. Like, there's no kick in him. There's no flesh in him. I got a great example, you know? I got a great example. We're going back to, this is a message of the good potter from Straightway, Kentucky. I appreciate it. I appreciate everyone who was, you know, involved in the ministry and putting themselves out there. You know, for some sisters, you know, I understand the desire to be recognized, right? The desire to be recognized or be out front or to do something and get applause and all those things. It doesn't come upon you and attack you until you get here. Why? Because you reject yourself so much. Your inner thoughts about yourself, you know, they really suppress you down so much that you want a high five and you want to feel good. You want to hear it from Yah. You want your name called. And you have to tell Yah that, you know, if you want to be free. You don't got to do anything, right? It's not a mind control message. And so when you're learning something, when you're learning, you know, Yah's dealing with you and he's learning and he's teaching you, and you are out front, your dynamic of learning might appear completely different, but it's the same transformation in the soul. So the sister who is behind the scenes who's learning has the same transformation. So you might covet the natural manifestation and say, oh, man, it looks so much better, you know, because you see in the natural, but Yah, you don't see like that. You know, you might call me Deacon's wife. Yah don't call me no title. You know what I mean? I'm using me as an example. Yah, we're all servants and daughters, you know. Who makes you to differ from another, 1 Corinthians 4:7? Who did that? And so what happens when you idolize someone else, and you idolize someone's opinion of you, you know, and you become a little girl or insecure or rejected to that person's mind of you, you did that. You do that. So you fear them controlling you. You fear their rebuke. You put them higher than you. Yah didn't do that. You know? I always, early on, I really feared, Mother Jennifer, I really feared conflict. And this was my first year. Okay, I'm 27, right? I fear conflict because I'm brand new to the faith and I thought everybody was perfect. So I'm like, oh, shit. Like, somebody burnt the bread. I'm giving you an example. And the bread was completely black, I mean completely charcoal black on the bottom, beautiful on top, and they were still going to serve it for Sabbath. So I'm like, okay, I'm new here, right? We can't serve this. Like, we got 3 hours until the sunset. I got to tell this sister, like, you got to make some more bread. I don't even know how to make bread. But you just got this stuff all laid out, airing out like you do, Nadia. You know, I've got the linen and the cloth over it. It's ready to serve the saints. Like, no, ma'am. What do you do? Okay, so I got to deal with it, right? Oh, then I get in the truck. I'm going to drive down the hill from the top of the hill on a Sabbath day down to down to the bottom. Oh, somebody been smoking cigarettes in here. I didn't came straight out the club. I ain't even been here 6 months. You can't hide a cigarette. What I got to do? I got to go find the person smoking a cigarette. I got to tell somebody. Oh, what's this sister doing? Oh, she flipping eggs on breakfast, but you got vodka in your coffee. Like, we don't even drink like that. This isn't a matter of, like, every other day. I'm going, what? And mother's like, why, Pastor, why is she always involved in something and she just got here? That's exactly what she said to him one time when we were in a meeting in her house. I was 27. Because y'all's trying to free me from my anxiety over conflict. Constantly putting me in the middle of something. Now, you're going to be hated, right? But you're going to overcome your conflict. That's the goal. You got to face it, Mother Jennifer.
And you will continue to revisit and revisit and revisit until you are free. And he loves us that much to make sure that you are set free. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Next clip.
But again, vessels. Vessels. And who's going to question him? Who knows the mind of God? Therefore, it behooves you to be a good vessel. Us not knowing his mind, guess what? At least when you are a vessel he can pick up and use, and he can smile and be like, oh, man, I can use this to my liking. I'm going to use this vessel. Just be glad for that.
Hallelujah.
Glad that he can use you. Oh, jeez, I'm telling you. I thank God to this day that I can be an overcomer in many areas and overcome myself. Seriously. Overcome them driving forces, but you got to recognize what is a driving force. If it is a driving force and you can't discern whether it came from Yah or whether it came from Satan, you need to step it up.
Help us out, Mother. How do we know who it came from?
You know, Sister Ashley, Pastor always talks about the voice of the enemy is always very loud. You know, it's always easy to hear. It's very loud, and it's usually the thing that appeals to your flesh. The voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of Yah, is going to be that small, still voice. And it's not going to overpower anything, because Yah is a gentleman. And so when you are hearing a very loud voice that's very blatant and very disruptive in your mind, you know that it's not the voice that you need to follow. You need to wait and pause and listen for that still, small voice, which is the Holy Spirit. And it's typically not going to be the most comfortable thing to do. You know, the most comfortable way out. It's not going to be that when Yah is telling you what to do or leading you to do something. It's not necessarily going to be the most comfortable thing. But you'll get a witness in your spirit and you'll know that, okay, this is what I need to do. This is the right thing to do. Sister Ashley.
When someone's used to mold you, do you know? When someone is used to mold you, do you know? Because has anyone seen Yah's glorious hands drop down out of heaven and reshape you? New body, new mind? No, he's using us. So when someone's used to mold you, recognize it. That will help you understand who and what is of the enemy. Yes, the enemy is an oppressor, but he has a perfect role in our life. Through his temptation and communication, we're made perfect. So I praise Yah even for him. I respect my oppressor. I hate him too. So when you're feeling like somebody's going to give up on you if you make a mistake, they will. But guess what? Be so determined to serve so hard and to turn things around that they can't find no ill or evil in you. That's the kind of drive we got to have. Or people give up, man, they'll say all kinds of things, come at you all kind of sideways. Really, they do. But be so determined, hey, be long-suffering and real slow to wrath. If it takes me a whole 6 months, 8 months, 1 year to show my enemies I ain't who you believe I am, then so be it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody still good?
Good.
It's Rock 27, 3. Through six. Get ready for second Ezra, okay, my brother?
Yes, sir.
So Rock 27, 3 through 6, if a man is not steadfast, hear that out, is not steadfast and zealous in the fear of Yahweh, his house will be quickly overthrown. When a thief is shaken, the refuse remains. So a man's filth remains in his thoughts. The thoughts. Why do you think I just said that? You need to recognize when a thought comes to your mind, whether it came from Yah or whether it came from Satan. Whether it's coming from your flesh or your spirit, man. We know sometimes we just don't want to abide by that still small voice. The furnace proves the potter's vessels. So the trial of a man is in his reasoning. The furnace proves the potter's vessel. So the trial of man is in his reasoning. As a man thinketh, so is he. Really. He is talking about the furnace physically, but it's a trial of man. You got tried over the last couple weeks, did you not, Terrence, when you went down to visit family, huh?
No,
got tried by family, didn't you?
Yes.
Trying to keep your religion, huh? The fruit discloses the cultivation of a tree. So the expression of a thought discloses the cultivation of a man's mind. Agricultural people, huh?
No.
The fruit discloses the cultivation of a tree. However you cultivated it, the fruit is going to show everybody how you cultivated it. The fruit of that tree. So the expression of a thought. Think on that for a second. The expression of a thought. You ain't even got to say it out loud. The expression of a thought. The expression of a thought discloses the cultivation of a man's mind.
Wow.
Your actions speak a hell of a lot louder than words. You ain't got to say nothing. You wonder, by their fruit they shall, that you shall know them. Can you eat off his tree? Can you eat off her tree? Can I be edified by her? Can I be edified by him? Well, how about this? Hell, if I can't get edification from them, I'll edify them. Maybe they'll come up. Not a comparison. It's just when those are the spiritual, when you catch a brother in the fault, you receive them and you restore them in meekness, right? And then Jesus told us when you are converted, go do what? Strengthen your brother. Oh. He didn't say when you are converted, you walk away from your brother. He didn't say when you are converted, that nigga something else. I'm going to go ahead and keep him where he at, and I'm going to go over here. We're all vessels, and as we read just a minute ago, hey, he has some that he left the curse to, but he had others that he brought near to himself. So we're all near to him, and we're all supposed to be vessels of honor instead of vessels of destruction. We need to also help our brother be a vessel of honor if we love him or we love her.
Mother Jennifer, what did you write down?
I wrote down, we need to recognize when filth is manifested in our thoughts. And so many times we walk around with our minds and our thoughts, you know, our conscious full of nothing but filth. And, you know, the word tells us that we have to purge our conscience from all dead works. But so many times we walk around with, you know, the dead works still on our minds. And what's being manifested is dead works, you know, but we don't understand that it's coming from the thoughts that we have not purged at all. We don't understand that it comes from, you know, what is truly in our heart. But if we were really just adamant about being aware of the thoughts in our mind and, you know, the things that actually give life and the things that actually destroy or kill, then we could learn to really actively purge our conscience from the dead work, and then we would see that our actions would actually line up from there. Sister Ashley?
Catch yourself if you are the type of woman who goes around trying to fix someone else's mistakes and purge them. You know, catch yourself if you are purging someone else. That's not your role. catch yourself if you're trying to really rally people together and be a fixer. You know, let's fix this. Let's do this better. Let's change this. Let's purge this. This is going on inside you, sis. You got this problem. You need to get deliverance from this. This is what I see in your house. Purging, fixing, right? That's not the dynamic of Yah. We got it, though. We got it bad. Okay? You're not to purge anyone else. You're to support and to restore and pull your sister from the fire. If you can't help her, be a listening ear. If you know that being a listening ear would be toxic, then don't be a listening ear. In the faith, you start really making a lot of decisions on your own that you've never had to make before. No one's around when you need to say no. No one's around when you need to walk away. Your husband's not there when you need to hang up the phone when the sister is ranting. You know, there's a lot of independence that you have to make in order to grow and be molded. So what does codependency look like in the faith, right? It looks like you being completely dependent upon someone else's praise, someone else's acceptance, someone else's words. When learning how to really form who you are is between you and your creator, and allowing everyone that's a part of that to be in their perfect role in your life is your charge. Here's another verse, Chef posted 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort he is. All of us are in some sort of fire, right? All of us. Here goes our first music break, okay? I'll be right back.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray.
Mother Jennifer, any thoughts on the break?
No, ma'am, Sister Ashley. I think everything has been spoken so far. I'm ready to move on.
All right, let's go to 2016. This message is called Inner Thought, the Tongue, from Pastor Dow, and our old, what we call Chow Hall now. Hallelujah, 2016.
You see, this is kingdom perfecting. Hallelujah. Amen.
All right. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. What does he know of man?
The
thoughts of man. Did y'all hear that? He knows the thoughts of man. Isn't that something? I mean, over and over again, we the scriptures often pop up in our mind, you know, by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. And we capitalize on that, but we hardly ever hear messages centered on the communication of the Spirit. What is really going on? The Lord knows the thoughts of man that they are vanity. Y'all hear that? They are vanity. Drop on down to verse 19. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Did y'all hear that? So there's a way you can even experience joy, comfort, and pleasure. But you have to get control of that inward man. Come on, sometimes we let that inward man just run unchecked. We don't put him through any checks and balances. We're busy trying to clean up the outside and get the aura from the outside to so everybody can see, so look at me, look how holy and everything I am. But the real you is the inner man. That's the real you. I understand you want to take care of this body, but if you put half as much attention in taking care of the inward man as you did the outward man, we'd be something. We'd be a holy generation, wouldn't we? We'd be a royal priesthood, would we not? Oh, yes, we would, too. Oh, yes, we would. Oh, yeah. You wouldn't believe how much time and effort and energy we put into grooming ourselves. I wonder what that inward man looks like. I wonder how much cleaning he's had. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Makes sense, don't it? Psalms 119, verse 113. But you see, we're going to shift the tide to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because we don't want to present our soul before the King dirty. You know, we hear it all the time. We pray, and I don't know what the Scripture says, Lord. Did your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord? And since we're in this natural realm, what we spend the most time perfecting and working on? Body. And the spirit man is neglected. Now, we don't neglect the soul man. We just capitalize on the wrong emotions of the soul man. Or, you know, the wrong manifestations of the soul man. You know what I mean? I mean, if the soul man can be angry and upset and all this other stuff, then surely you can control that soul man and rejoice in the Lord or praise his holy name. But see, the difference in the dynamic is that when you're angry and stuff, you think it's really originating and coming just only from your free will when you're really being controlled. Because remember, Scripture says anger rests in the bosom. Where's the bosom at then? Of fools. Isn't that something? So if you got manifestations of anger and stuff, and yet you're expressing that, but then, when I mean, the Most High do all praise, all glory, and all honor. But see, that right there, it doesn't come by how you feel. It comes by your free will to do it. And once you do it, then, you know, as old saying, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. See, it takes an active knowledge of your will. You can't wait till you feel like praising. You never wait till you feel like you're angry, do you? You're responding on impulse. Are you not? Listen to the book. Shemak, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Did y'all hear that? I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Is that not something? We're going.
Mother Jennifer, what'd you write?
I wrote loving the law over your vain thoughts. And it really goes back to having a delight to do the will of Yah. You know, if you really delight in his law, if you love his law, then you're going to delight to love his will and to do his will and to overlook your own will so that you can do his will. And he talked about really getting control of the inward man so that you can control your thoughts. But it's impossible to do unless you commit to really getting control of the inward man first. Sister Ashley?
Years and years ago, this just came to my mind too. Years and years ago, there was a long period of time that I could tell my spirit wanted praise. This was probably my late 20s. And so you know what I prayed? Don't praise me until I don't want it. Do not let anyone's lips praise me because it's me feeling like a failure. It's me feeling rejection, right? So don't praise me. And then when I overcome, show me I please you and show me I've overcome by praising me. It was a long time, by the way. It was a long time. So the praise of someone else is a big concern for women. It's almost like you fiend off of it and you have to have it, right? Because if not, Satan crushes you and you crush you and then you accuse your husband of crushing you and then life just compiles, and then that's how women kick the traces. They can't stand. They can't stand the sharpness of the word and the cutting of, you know, the discerning of the sword that goes in to cut and determine what your inner thought even is, you know. But if you know this about yourself, if you fear the lead sister, if you fear the authority, I know I keep revisiting this because I think it's something worth reflecting on, then turn your prayer around. Turn your desire around. All right. We're going back to the same message, inner thoughts.
Can I add one thing, Sister Ashley, before you go on? Can I just say that, you know, when you are in a place where you're maturing, you will learn that you, the thing that your flesh is starving for is the thing that the Father is going to withhold. So if your flesh is starving for approval or praise or, you know, verbal recognition, he knows that that's not something that is going to help you. So that's going to be the last thing that you're going to get. But it takes a high level of maturity to really understand that. Instead of thinking that, you know, well, I'm just being rejected by this sister. No, it's not that. It's just that Yah has not laid it on that person's heart to feed your flesh, to give you the fleshly praise that you're desiring. Sometimes women can even accuse husbands. You know, women can accuse husbands of rejecting, you know, oh, you haven't paid me any attention, you've rejected me. No, it's just that your spirit is wrong. The reason behind you wanting the attention is actually wrong. It's not wrong to want attention, but the motive behind it is actually wrong. So when you get to that place of maturity and you understand why things are being withheld, then you can deal with yourself in the appropriate way. Sister Ashley?
Yah said, not a single sparrow is forgotten, and even the very hairs of your head are numbered. But that's not there to minister when nobody's high-fiving you, and nobody sees you're wiping baby asses, changing diapers, making meals, cooking, right, doing the thing you were created to do that your spirit is disgruntled about because of how far your mind is away from Yah. And nobody's high-fiving you for doing what you were supposed to be doing. And why would y'all high-five a pile of shit? You're doing it disgruntled. You're doing it in a spirit. It's not thankful. You're doing it with expectation. You're not doing it in service and enjoy. There's a huge lesson to learn. Right? Even the hairs of your head are numbered. You are more of value than many sparrows, Jesus said. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Man, yeah, he'll do wrong. Woman, yeah, she'll do wrong. You'll be hurt. Yep, you will. Somebody will lie. Somebody won't do what you think they need to do. Oh, the hell well.
You know how many bodies are in the cemetery? Let's ask them how much wrong was done to them. We are very soft. There's one thing to be a weaker vessel, right? But then to use it as an example, to stay in your state. One, you can be a weaker vessel with a strong mind.
That's it.
And that's the goal. That's the goal. Here we go.
People used to be as astonished and amazed. Now today we're numb. Hallelujah. Y'all, can y'all see what the Most High is going through just to try to save us? Save us from ourselves first. Because, remember, if all these things defile the man, does the scriptures not clearly tell us that ain't no defile thing going into his kingdom? So we really need to be putting a light on our minds. The communication that goes on in here. In our thoughts. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. These are the things, I've read it two or three times, that defile the man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what it said.
Amen. True.
How you understand. That's what I read.
Lord.
Hallelujah, man.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, what'd you write?
Put a light on your mind. And, you know, when we're putting a light on our mind, we're really discerning our thoughts. And we're asking, trying to discern, where did that thought originate? You know, where did it come from? Is this a righteous thought, or is this a negative thought that came from the pit of hell that I need to get rid of? So put a light on your mind, but not to the point of where you're so, you're so just caught up in you, where you're so absorbed in yourself. There needs to be a balance. You really have to have a balance, because people can get so self-absorbed and self-focused, and, you know, it's all about them and woe is me, and, you know, then the condemnation starts, then the guilt and the shame starts. But it's to put a light on your mind so that you can walk in freedom. Not that you can, carry on this condemnation, but that you can just be set free. Sister Ashley?
You know, prior to the faith, the odds are that we had our entire life wrapped up in pleasing someone else at all times. And you don't know yourself. And the process of learning yourself will not happen without a light being shined into your mind. You know, that you hear this thought and you hear that thought. And you say this, you say that. It's not someone else's fault that you're going through what you're going through. It's not a lead sister's fault that you feel controlled. It's not a lead sister's fault that it's not even, hey, she could be controlling, she could be manipulating, she could be the world's worst in your mind, or even to the accusations in your mind from the enemy. It's still a tool for you. It's not her fault. It's not her fault. And we really do a lot of finger pointing. So where's the love? Huh? Where's the gifts? Where's the working of the Spirit? Where's forgiveness? It starts first with you. I'm not, like Pastor said, man, there will be so many women in hell. There sure will. Some of the stories that hit my ear, and then you want to come take Passover, makes me want to vomit. Makes me want to vomit. You spent all year long, you didn't deal with your thoughts at all. You allow them to manifest and come out your mouth and act the way you act around saints, making people endure you. I'd be ashamed. And where is the shame? Where's the shamefacedness that we're charged with? Where's the humility, even when you're done wrong? Even when you don't agree? Where's your belief that Yah will defend you and you stand down and don't defend yourself? Where's your belief? And then when it comes to other relationships, my sisters, empathy is very healthy.
Yeah.
But sympathy is very draining.
Yeah.
And you can fall into a sympathetic trap in your relationships. Well, this person thinks that about Pastor. Man, that seed goes in you and you agree that sympathy will bug you all night.
Right?
Right? Sympathy is draining. So be leery, you know? Be honest. Remember, if you spent your whole life wrapped up in pleasing someone else, it's going to be hard for you to say no. It's going to be hard for you to hang up. It's going to be hard for you to walk away. It's hard for you to, man, everybody up late and you want to go home. Go home. You don't want to drink, don't drink. You want to drink, drink, you know? Make these decisions for yourself as a responsible adult and get out of this little girl mentality. Let's grow up and be women. Mother Jennifer?
And you have to know if someone is coming to you with accusations about someone else or nonsense about someone else, you have to understand and know that you're in no position to receive those accusations. And sometimes it could come under the guise of someone saying, I need help. I need some counsel. This person did this to me. And right away when the conversation starts like that, that is a red flag. We're here about you. So tell me what you need. You know, tell me what areas you are struggling with. It should not really involve anyone else. Sometimes it does, but there's a way where you have to listen and discern. But if right off the bat it's talking about, you know, this person is talking about how someone else has wronged them and it's pointing the finger and, you know, that's a situation that you want to get out of and you want to reflect on them. What can I help you with? I'm not going to address the other person because they're not here. So you have to really make sure that you're wise and you don't get pulled into something that is ridiculous. Sister Ashley.
Yes, ask the Father to help you develop who you really are, you know. Develop who you are based on what he wants and allowing those in your life to help you do that. At the same time, not being dominated by their mind, you know, not being dominated by the fear of failing their mind. Because in your mind, you believe a lie. You believe they will stop loving you. You believe once you fail, they'll give up or they'll leave you alone. So you try to please, 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 right? End up idolizing someone else. But in actuality, if you do fail, you'll see time and time again, they're still there. We're not going anywhere. The righteous and the remnant aren't going anywhere. All right? All right, we're going to some of the last clips for the night. It's from Sabbath Service of 2017 called Self-Hatred, 11-11-17. That's the dates if you write it down. Sabbath Service on Straightway Tech Team. This message is called Self-Hatred. Definitely something worth reflecting on. If you've never gotten deliverance from self-hatred, you should. Hallelujah. So let's become as a child and let's hear.
I know it was a demon saying that to you in your voice, trying to bring condemnation on yourself so that you block yourself from deliverance by coming down hard on yourself.
So catch that. You come down hard enough on yourself, you'll block yourself from deliverance. If you come down hard enough on yourself with self-reproof, then you won't get deliverance. That's an interesting thought, right? Let's hear the enemy's strategy.
Thereby keeping you from going into perfection. See, these demons are masters at getting you to, you know, to keep you from repentance. Keep you from saying, I'm sorry. Masters of lifting up pride. Pride always go before destruction. Pride always go before destruction. See, sometimes when you outside of character, you in your pride. Mm-hmm. Listen. Y'all listening? Y'all listening? There's nothing wrong with self-reproof.
Hallelujah.
Ain't nothing wrong. Sometimes, man, what the hell are you doing?
Well, what's the problem and what's the offense when someone else says it to you? What's the difference? Why can we self-reprove ourselves and say the same things to ourselves, but we can't tolerate someone else? We must be strengthened in our mind, my sister.
I mean, sometimes you gotta shake yourself and wake yourself up. Now, wait a minute, man. How did I get over here? Dad? How did I get over here? No. No, we going back and we're gonna recover that. Trying to steal my joy just because you all jacked up. But see, we passively go by every day, and the devil know how real this battle is. No? You being introduced to it with in a silver platter, front page, right here in front of you, man. Here it is. This is what he's doing. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Let me show you how he jack you up. Ain't nothing wrong with you reproving yourself. That don't mean you hate yourself while you're reproving yourself. Correction is grievous unto them that forsake the way. Huh? But there is something wrong with self-pity. See, self-pity is building a defense and a fortress. Self-pity is trying to lock itself into you so it can have a defense. So anytime somebody try to come and penetrate that wall right there, self-pity is already protected. That's why many of you have you locked up in the self-pity in your mind. Can't nobody minister nothing good to you.
Wow.
Self-pity sitting on the couch, marking out orders. Got the remote in his hand. Kink, kink, kink. Huh? And having in a readiness to revenge all what? But see, you gotta be one key word here though. See, some of you, let's just tell the truth. You ain't ready to obey. In this area, oh, you got it on lockdown. And because you have this area on lockdown, you got the whole world thinking that you are obedient. But over here, in this room, because in our great house, there are many rooms. That's why Yahshua said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. See, over here, this looks good. But over here, it's like if you come into the house, whoa, look at that. Man, did you see that? Living room, nefesh? Living room? Well, let's go open up this door. Now, ho, wait a minute. What is that? Man, that's a cage of every unclean bird. All type of spiritual adultery and fornication going on over here. What are you, self-absorbed into self-worship? I mean, out there it looked good. But over here, oh, no. Oh, I can't abide here. See, that's why you have to be ready. You have to have a readiness to, there's a word right there. Revenge what? All this, not some of it, not selectively cherry picking and choosing. You know, that's how you do. You cherry pick and choose what areas you're going to obey, and then other areas you're going to give a hard ass time to, ain't you? You're going to dig in. Because in that area, I ain't ready. I ain't came to it yet because you don't want to come to it, you stubborn, hard-headed thing. Because you are protecting something. It ain't hard. Let's just tell it like it is. I just ain't ready to obey that. That's what you're really saying.
Yes, sir.
And since you ain't ready to obey, you can't take revenge on disobedience. Because when you're ready to take revenge on disobedience, you'll know it because your obedience will be fulfilled. Many of you have a very tough time saying, I forgive myself. Some of you don't even say it. Some of you just so used to messing up and screwing up. You just accept it. I'm just jacked up. That's all there is to it. I'm sorry. That's all there is to it. And I don't mean sorry as doing sorry. I'm just sorry. And of course, I agree quickly with my adversary. Yeah, you are. Huh?
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, what'd you write?
I delight to do thy will. That's what I wrote. You know, it all goes back to the will. And I thought it was good that Pastor pointed out how a lot of times we don't make the proper confession. You know, I'm not willing to obey. You know, we refuse to even confess the truth, even though Yah already knows the truth that is in our hearts. And, you know, so many are really hung up on self-pity, and self-pity is building a defense, you know, locking the mind. And so many can't even receive the word because of the mind being locked with self-pity, covenants being formed with self-pity or self-rejection or, you know, other spirits. He even talked about having to go back and recover. You know, when you figure out that something is wrong, that you have to always go back. There's no way that you're going to be able to recover yourself without first going back to where it went awry. You know, you got to think back to where did this go wrong? When did this start? And you have to go back to that point in order to start recovering yourself. Sister Ashley?
Recovering yourself is a really good word you used, and it's a very difficult task to find acceptance in yourself, my sisters, without anyone else accepting you. You know, maybe someone does, maybe someone doesn't. Maybe the person you want to accept you doesn't, and you're still digging for acceptance, you know. It's a journey, and you can get there, right? But recovering self was a really sound use of words. So I encourage you to find out who you really are and be comfortable being her, but with Yah's spirit at the forefront, you know, not your flesh and your decisions and who you've always been. Hallelujah. No Gentile ways accepted here. Back to, this is a rather long clip. Let me see. No, I got two left. Hold on. My first one is just a couple minutes. Here we go.
You will admit that you're not perfect. But when you fall short, you will condemn yourself as if you are perfect.
Y'all hear that? Let's go back.
See, reverse psychology it is. Here you are.
All right.
You will admit that you're not perfect. But when you fall short, you will condemn yourself as if you are perfect. See, reverse psychology it is. Anybody know how condemnation feels? Do y'all like that? Y'all like the way condemnation feels? Anybody ever felt it before? I realize I am in a clean place, and I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of an unclean people, but it ain't you, it's them folk out there.
That's a good visual for us, okay? Raise your hand if you felt condemnation. Everybody's goes up, right? Raise your hand, sisters, if you felt rejection. Everybody's hand goes up. All right, raise your hand if you've ever felt fear. Everybody's goes up. All right, so once again, who makes you differ from someone else? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who made you different than the person that's correcting you? Don't you believe that she or he knows their own state of mind? You know, their own state of being? And don't worry, sometimes you will come across the arrogant, proud individuals that are, guess what, a tool for you in your pride. Hallelujah. So humble yourself.
But you know how condemnation feels? If you know how condemnation feels, then guess what? then you can't really truly be in the fullness of nefesh in your relationship with the Father. You can't get excited about him when you're waiting for him. Remember what that woman said in the Song of Solomon, third chapter? Said, man, I'm waiting on him. You can't be excited about him. No, you deal in condemnation.
Mother Jennifer, was you right?
Actually, I didn't write anything, but the thought that I have, Sister Ashley, is, you know, how we fill ourselves with so many things that are contrary to the Father, and it weakens our expectancy that we have, you know, our how excited we are just about the life that he's given us. It waters that down because all we can think about is us, ourselves, how we failed, you know, our failures, how we've fallen short. And we can't think about anybody else. So you even have to be in agreement in your mind. You know, the word talks about how can two walk together unless they agree. Well, your mind, you have to be in agreement in your mind mentally. You can't be entertaining all these other thoughts and think that you're going to have the same zeal and excitement for the Most High with thinking negative thoughts. It just doesn't work that way. Sister Ashley?
I don't know anyone more opposite than me, than Mother Carol. But somehow I can walk in her mind. I can, you know, do what she needs me to do when she's not around, month after month, year after year. You know, so for the questions earlier about, you know, how do you find your mind trying to serve the lead sister, you know, how do you find your mind easily? You don't mind failing. You don't mind doing something her way. You don't mind being different, you know. She's very similar. Mother Carol's very similar to my husband. They love to eat the same things. I don't like any of it, you know. And I'm not going to like it just because they do. Oh, you love that? No, I don't, you know. It's okay because we found ourselves, you know. If Yah can love me through transformation and love Mother through transformation, and love Abigail through transformation, right, and just throw all our names in there, then we can love each other through transformation too. Okay? All right, so here's a one-minute clip.
I can't do anything right. You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
But remember, you were born in sin,
right.
Saving in iniquity.
Right.
The majority of everything I ever learned how to do, I made a bunch of mistakes before I got it. You didn't hear me saying, I just can't do it. I just don't accept defeatism like that. I just keep striving. There you go. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Huh? I wish I could cook like her, but I just can't get it. Do you really truly want to cook like her, or do you want to hear the accolades? Do you really truly want to build like that brother? You just want everybody to come to you. Tell the truth and shame the devil.
Mother Jennifer, any thoughts?
It all boils down to your motive and your intent. Remember, Yah judges the intent. So, of course, he understands what your intent is, but you need to understand it as well. Before you, you know, even before you seek him and you ask him to allow you to be gifted in an area, your motive and your heart has to be right in even you approaching and asking. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. All right, this one is an 8-minute clip, and he's going to go through some things that self-hatred might say, some communications, like I think you heard the other one, I can't do anything right. So you're going to hear a few comments throughout these 8 minutes. And a very entertaining crowd, might I say. They're very involved in what he's saying. So this is the last clip for the night. I hope y'all enjoy it. We'll be right back after this.
I ain't good for what? Somebody say curses. I'm speaking curses on myself. The devil is tempting you to get you to the point to where you even think it and give voice to it, to the point that you end up shortchanging the real true Ruach. And you start losing all that power and all that energy, getting drained. And you die. Now that's the reason why plants die when you get old up.
Right.
I ain't good for nothing. You ever heard that before? You ever say it? Now I'm gonna ask you a question. Did you say that or did a thought come into your head? See, way the devil do it is you fail at something. And then, okay, normally you just, you try to adjust. But, man, if that spirit know that it's got legal ground, as soon as you fail, you ain't good for nothing. You know, I ain't good for nothing. That's it. That's it. Legal ground. That's it. Guess what? From that day on, you ain't good for nothing. Don't expect anything in the area. Then next thing you know, here come Pastor Dow. What the hell are you doing? See, I told that damn spirit, see, I told you ain't good for nothing. Look at you. Look at yourself. Come and what the hell is this? I just tell you ain't good for nothing. All over the same place. Y'all see the game? Do you see the game?
I'm
telling you, sometimes it's dangerous sitting there looking at folks that's short on the fish. I'm telling you, man, that stuff don't look too long. You ever seen them cartoons with them little spiral eyes? Next thing you know, you'll be drunk, but not with wine. Better be careful. But y'all heard that before, right? Well, that you are a spirit. Mm-hmm. The harder I try, the worse I get. Let me ask a question. Has anybody in here ever heard any of this before? Oh, this is universal. Now, wait a minute. If it was just me, then how you hearing what's going on with me? I mean, are you living in my head or something? I mean, you way over there and you over there. How we hearing the same communication? What the hell going on here?
Right.
I thought I was the only one to hear stuff like that. Something's wrong. Huh? Let me see one more time. Everybody to look around for a second. Anybody ever heard any of this before? You got to be kidding me. Then who are we all listening to? Because when I hear it, it sounds like my voice.
Yep.
And when you hear it, it sounds like your voice.
Yep.
When you hear it, you don't hear his voice.
No.
You hear your voice. And what the world going on? See, if you hear the same thing that he heard, but you hear it in Nelly's voice, then you go to check yourself into the funny farm, wouldn't you? You say, ain't no deliverance for me. Huh? See, you are man. You hearing a woman's voice in your head. I'm hearing voices. Man, shut up, man. We all here. Not like this. Y'all see what's going on? Lying devils. That's why the devil don't want y'all to tune into this. Because some of you, you've been so controlled by the influence of the devil so long, you don't even know how to walk any other way. You actually think you're serving Yah. Y'all want another one? I'm just a nobody. You are nobody that Yahshua left Shemaim. Paint it off! He ain't shed no blood on demons. But he shed it for you, for your opinion now is you are nobody. Who the hell you think you are? What's wrong with you? I know what's wrong with you.
Right.
Would Yah come down here and be beaten and smitten by his own creation, mocked, scorned, derided, and chided, ridiculed? For nobody? Man, that's something need to change on your station. You need to get satellite TV. This domestic stuff killing you. Well, Nettle, I'm nothing important. You ever did that and do it in a false sense of humility?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody want a good word.
Yeah,
you do spoken this season. Somebody try to come here and tell you, I'm nothing. What? What? Did you just hear what I said? Yeah, but I'm telling you, I'm nothing. All right. You got time for this one. That stuff will weigh you down. That stuff will leech all the flesh out of you. I hate the way I look. You ever heard that? Now you're responsible, soul. You're responsible for the way you look, but you hate it. Well, ain't that right? If you hate it so damn much, then why are you still looking like that then? I'll tell you the reason why. Because, see, when you are full of self-hatred, that self-hatred has got to find comfort in something. So even though you hate the way you are, there's something that comforts you in your condition. And it ain't the flesh either. Could be a pizza.
Hallelujah. That's Eclipse for tonight. Mother Jennifer, did you write anything? Any last words for tonight?
I think I'm going to let the clip speak for itself, Sister Ashley. Very good words from our shepherd.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Thank you for last week's show. It was great. I had a good quick conversation with a sister on Sabbath that really touched her and myself too. I really had a good inner reflection moment and, you know, some light bulbs. So thank you so very, very much. Everybody say shalom to Mother Jennifer.
Shalom.
All right. See you very soon. Bless
shalom.
Y'all, Georgia, listening tonight. Shalom, Mother. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to read James 4, 1 through 3 from the Common English Version. It says, what is the source of conflict among you? What is the source of your disputes? Don't they come from your cravings that are at war in your own lives? You long for something you don't have, so you commit murder. You're jealous for something you can't get, so you struggle and fight. You don't have because you don't ask. And you ask and don't have because you ask with evil intentions to waste it on your own cravings. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Bless y'all. Thank you so much for your time tonight. If you're enjoying the cocktails and conversations at Marshalla's home, the house of Brother Mike Harrison, you're drinking your Amaretto Sours. Thank you, Sister Pandy. Bless y'all. Let's go out with a song I love called Unconditional.
This is my story. Yeah. Loving kindness pulled me from the miry clay, took me out of darkness. Your need is a stay. How can it be love is away? I won't forget the price you pay. Your grace is unconditional.